Amen. That's beautiful. I love that scripture in Psalms. And as Beth and I were having a conversation about this Sunday and the things that the Lord was really laying on my heart and just the journey that he's put me on, it's so beautiful to dig into the scriptures and Psalms and how that was reflective in Beth's life and mine. And I just thought that was so beautiful for her to lead us in an act of worship, of digging into God's word. Man, I hope you guys have had a beautiful spring break. How many of you were actually on spring break and, like, got out of town? Congratulations. For those of us who are at work, we are jealous. You know, thanks so much for posting pictures on Facebook. I was talking to my friend Abby a little bit earlier, posting pictures on Facebook about you being at the beach or you being on the lake. You know, I mean, way to rub it in for us sitting in an office while the beautiful weather is out there. So I hope that all of you had a beautiful spring break. Happy St. Patrick's Day to all you Irish people. For your Irish heritage, I wanted to give a special shout out to you guys. And for those of you guys wearing green, congratulations. I just did not think about it whatsoever. I wore my bland white and khaki. So I did not bust out any green this morning. For those of you who were out last week with Daylight Savings Time and spring break, I know a lot of us were traveling. We have started this conversation here as a church in a new chapter of our story, talking about what does it look like for the local church in the community that they're a part of. What does that relationship look like for us, and what does that look like to Jesus? And man, it was just a really beautiful time last Sunday to have the opportunity to share with you guys about the love of Jesus and about his love not only for us, but his love for this community that's out there searching for something, and it's the love of Jesus. And if you didn't have a chance to be a part of that conversation, we do invite you guys to check us out online at lifepointonline.com. There's a link there that has conversations to where you could click on that, and you could be a part of the story with us and the journey with us. So we're going to continue talking about that this morning. And one of the questions that I asked you guys that we really dove into and we began reflecting on is, what does church mean to you? What do you think of when you hear the word church? What do you describe? What kind of description do you give when you hear the word church? And that was kind of an interesting topic for us, because just even through some emails and through some conversations, it was really beautiful times of having conversations with some of you guys about your church, what you think of when you hear the church, and how where it really comes down to the love of Jesus is what the church was created for. And we read about that last week in his scriptures, and we talked about that more. But another question I want to ask for you this morning, kind of the next step in our journey, is this question: how do we as the church draw people in the community of Longview, Texas that we are a part of? How do we draw people in our community to the love of Jesus? So take a few moments and reflect on that if you don't mind. Take a few moments and think about that. Like, that's something that I've been praying about in my journey the last couple of weeks and months. The Lord just really speaking to me. I just started asking questions to the Lord, like, God, what is it that you're putting inside of me to lead others to your love? And I believe that he's not only asking me that, but he's asking us that as a church too. How do we draw people in the community to the love of Jesus? The love of Jesus is something that he is calling us to give in relationship with others. When we claim to do life with one another here at a church, that's like our motto here at Life Point, we do life with one another. Well, the reason we do life with one another is not just to say, hey, let's hang out, let's do this, that's great. And that's a beautiful thing, you know. I mean, I love hanging out with people. I love going to movies and restaurants and all that stuff. But it all comes down to the love of Jesus. When we say we do life, we're saying we're doing life with one another centered around the love of Jesus. This past month, we had a conversation. We talked about the talents in our lives, all kinds of ways. And we spent an entire month. We had note cards out for you guys to fill out, including us on staff and the leaders of the church. We filled out on the note cards of some of the talents that we believe that we had to offer the kingdom of God, to offer each other in relationship. And so when we had that conversation, it really tied in well to the overflowing love of Jesus. And I really love the scriptures in 1 Peter chapter 4, because Peter was a man that didn't really have it all together, but Jesus loved him. And through that relationship with Peter, Peter became one of the largest leaders for the church that we believe in today. That's about the love of Jesus. So in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, this is what Peter is telling a group of his friends, people that he's doing life with, in relationship with people. It says in verse 10, Peter says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. We believe this morning that we serve a God who's not limited, but limitless We believe this morning we serve a God who believes in variety of gifts. He's blessed us all with all kinds of different gifts. I love that about my Lord, is that he is an artist to some regard. And Peter goes on to say, use these gifts well to serve one another. In verse 11 it says, do you have a gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself was speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all of your strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. I love how Peter says for us to use the gifts that the Lord has given us to serve one another well. So can we just take a few more moments here this morning and kind of in a new dynamic of serving others, what are some of the gifts that God has blessed you with to serve others, not only in your community, but people that you do life with on a regular basis? One of the encouraging things that I wanted to give you and one of the things I wanted to challenge you with is that, yes, he's calling us to love others and to serve others, but one of the key things that I believe about Jesus and his teachings and one thing that about Paul is that he's calling all of us to lead each other to his love. And so one of the things that we talked about last week is that what is Jesus doing for you and what is he speaking to you about the people that you're in close circles with that you see every day a part of your life? We talked about it, the co-workers that you have. How are you serving them? How are you loving them with the love of Jesus? We talked about some of the close people that we do life with. How are you showing the love of Jesus to them? A love that changes everything. Now, the word lead, I can tell you this for me, the word lead freaks me out sometimes. You know, sometimes I believe that we live by that motto, some of us are born leaders, some of us are born followers. And to some regard, I believe that. But I also believe this morning that Jesus is calling not just me or you, but all of us to lead each other to his love, to Jesus' love. So I ask again, what does that look like to you? What does that look like to you this morning to serve Jesus through his love? Again, we took some time last month to reflect on the talents we've been given by the Lord. Maybe some of us need to take some more time and reflection of those talents. One thing I believe is certain, though, this morning. He has given us all these different, random, beautiful, but yet equal talents for his kingdom to grow and for the love of Jesus to be known. I believe that there's a lot of people here within Longview, Texas, good old East Texas, with a church on every corner that just aren't grasping or don't understand because they've been misinformed of the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus is humble. The love of Jesus is pure. The love of Jesus is non-judgmental. The love of Jesus goes and does not ask for anything in return. That is something beautiful about Jesus. So with all these beautiful talents and all these things that he's done in us as a church, he's inviting us to help his kingdom grow and for his love to be known. Have you ever considered the talents he has given you for the purpose of serving the needs in front of you? Have you ever thought about the things that you're really good at? Have you ever been thinking, how can I serve the person that's in need right in front of me? Because friends, we all have it. We all face it every day, regardless of our jobs, regardless of our age, regardless of our financial situations. We see it every day, the need in front of us. And we know deep within us that there's some things that we're just really good at, that we're decent at, we're pretty good at. And he's inviting us to serve that need that's in front of us. When God was calling me to lead in certain ways of the community and hang out in the community, you know, I share this a lot because I'm passionate about it. And it was one of the first things that God just kind of laid on my lap. And I'm like, what am I going to do with this? Why are you choosing me to go to nursing homes? I have weird facial hair. I wear baseball caps all the time. It's just like, I don't know if they're going to like me, God. I can play some hymns for them. I can play my guitar for them. But I don't know what I have in common with any of these people. Why are you leading me in this way? God, I'm not talented enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't know how to have a conversation. You know, I give all these excuses and these questions to God, like, God, why? And I want to talk to you this morning about two people in the Bible that have really spoken to me that asked the same questions that did amazing things for the kingdom of God. Moses was a man that came from this situation in his life to where God was calling him to lead his chosen people out of slavery. Moses was the man that Jesus, or that God was calling. The Holy Spirit was wrapping around him and showing up in all kinds of different ways to help Moses get the fact, I'm calling you to lead. And I love in Exodus 4 the conversation between Moses and the Almighty God. It says in Exodus 4, verse 10, but Moses pleaded with the Lord after God had come to him and said, you're leading these people. It says, Moses pleaded with the Lord, oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I've never been, and I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. How many of us have heard the voice of God or probably ignored the voice of God because we didn't feel like we were talented enough to serve the ones he's calling us to love on? I love the Lord's reply in verse 11. It says, then the Lord asked Moses, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will be with you as you speak, and I will entrust you to what to say. Friends, when you come to the Lord with your questions and he tells you to go, you better put your trust in him and your belief in him, because when he's calling you to go, when it's time to go and you don't know what to do, beautiful things begin to happen. I love King Solomon. I love King Solomon because in the peace that God gives us through our questions, he shows how faithful he really is. When we have peace about what he's calling us to, he shows how faithful he really is, even through our questions. And King Solomon, taking the throne from his dad, David. King Solomon was born from a relationship between David and Bathsheba. David had plenty of other sons to take over the kingdom. But through some situations, Solomon, who was of this childlike faith, of this child's mentality almost, this situation in his life was chosen by David to take over the kingdom. And in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 7, another beautiful conversation between a man that was called to lead and the Almighty God. It says, Solomon says, verse 7, now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father David, but I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of your chosen people, a nation so great and numerous, they cannot be counted. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by myself is able to govern the great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. There's something beautiful when we freely admit, God, there is no way I can handle this. I just need some understanding as you lead me on. There's something beautiful about that. I believe in our relationships with the Lord that he just doesn't call us to figure everything out on our own and figure out what we need to do, but instead just go and to build relationships with people that, again, are longing for those relationships. That's what I believe for this church. That's what I believe for the church in general, is that we, friends, are not just called to come into this building and worship together in Almighty God and to have conversations with each other in this place, but to go and to love and to serve. So from reading about Moses and Solomon, I want to encourage you, friends, that you are creative enough to love on people, that you are definitely smart enough to serve people, that you are most definitely are talented enough to serve the least of these that are in front of us every day. Those shouldn't be excuses that we give out that, God, I'm just not worthy. I'm just not capable of doing this. No, he has called us, if we believe to be in a relationship with Jesus, he is calling us to share that love that he gives us. We talked about last week Satan, and one of the biggest things that he does for us is distracting us from the need in front of us. One of the hardest things for me to realize, even in this moment of being passionate about some of the things and some of the people that God has put on my heart, is that I continually get distracted to think that, God, I just don't know if this is doing any good whatsoever. I don't know if what you're calling me to do with these people, if this is even making a difference. But friends, I'm telling you this morning that whenever we put thoughts like that in our head, when Jesus and when God has called us to go, and we have thoughts like that and running in our heads, that is Satan putting almost like roadblocks in front of us on the journey that God's called us to go down. Because again, we are creative enough. We are smart enough. And he is calling all of us to go and to love. I love this quote by a guy named Bob Goff. He wrote this book called Love Does, and it has jacked me up ever since I read it over the summer. Because it's just a beautiful book, and I highly recommend it to you because I think it's challenging. I think it's beautiful. And Bob Goff says this beautiful quote, "God doesn't give us words to make us better leaders. He gives us love to make us better followers." Because this morning, God is calling all of us to embrace his love, because when he's calling us to lead, we're not just leading on our own, but we're following a God who's leading us to the people. There's something beautiful about that, y'all. There's something intimate and powerful about that when God calls us to go and to follow him and to lead others with his love. One of the things that's probably pretty difficult to have a conversation about, and I guess in the way of starting this conversation, I have to be vulnerable with you and stuff. That way it doesn't seem like I'm the preacher up here banging on this table, a.k.a. pulpit or whatever this thing is, and saying, you got to do this right or it's all wrong, you know, because I am not good at this. One of the distractions that Satan always puts in my mind is three words. I'm too busy. I'm too busy. God, do you see my schedule? Do you want to see my calendar? I just don't have the time to go out and love others the way you're calling me to go out and love. I got all this stuff going on. And all of us, friends, all of us in this room come from different stages of life. Okay, I'm a single guy, 28, stuff like that. You may think, this dude don't do nothing but play video games and sleep in. But all of us come from different stages of life to where our schedules can overwhelm us, to where we can use those words when God is calling us to lead others in his love. God, I'm just too busy. I would like to admit here to you this morning that in my personal relationship with God, I have used that excuse time and time again that I was just too busy to draw closer to him. Now, I wouldn't literally say this to God, like, God, I'm just too busy. Sorry, you're not that important, because that would be foolish. But through my actions, I might as well be just screaming it out, making it my Facebook status, making it a tweet that I send. I'm just too busy for God, y'all, because it's the way I live. The way I'm living screams that out. My actions were basically screaming that out. So my question for me, my question for you, who creates the busyness in my life? I do. I create it. I create my schedules. I have conversations, vulnerable conversations with great friends who have children and stuff. We create the schedules for our families too. And man, that's hard for me sometimes because I feel like, well, this is stuff that I want to do and this is stuff. And I believe in that. I truly do. I believe in getting people plugged in certain ways. I believe that's in some beautiful way that God builds relationships with us. Getting plugged into different things that you know, kind of control our schedule. But there's other things in life to where it's just like, man, maybe I shouldn't have added that because it's just keeping me way too overwhelmed and it's keeping me too busy. And I just want to say this morning that I believe it's okay to say no to certain things in our lives or wait for another season to add that in our stage of life until one thing passes on. That's just what something that the Lord's been speaking to me about, y'all. And I'm always reminded that Paul wasn't kidding or joking with us with something he had to say to a group of friends of holding them accountable. Because one beautiful thing, you can read the scriptures in the New Testament, read about Paul, and you're like, man, this is one harsh guy. He was pretty rude. But Paul, through a relationship with these people that he would write these letters to of encouragement, there were more encouragement than accountability. He says in Romans 12, verse 1, that really spoke out to me. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. As a worship leader, you know, I read that and I'm just like, huh. So that means that the top 10 worship songs aren't the truly way to worship you, Lord. You know, the books that I read, that I go and buy to draw closer to you and stuff like that, I believe these are all great things. I'm not dogging those whatsoever. But I will say this. This is something the Lord really called me out to do. The right books, quote unquote, the right books, the right music, the right movies, all that stuff, you know, that draws us closer to the Lord. That's great input. But if that input doesn't change our output of our lives, I believe that it's just like anything else. I believe that if the input that we are putting in our lives that is meant to draw us closer to the Lord, if it doesn't change the output of our lives, I believe it's just like anything else. One of the beautiful things that Paul is saying to us is through the voice of Jesus calling to him and calling to us is that your lives, what you do with your lives and what you do with the love that I've given you is what you were created to do. What does that look like for all of us? If the output is just temporary, though, and not everlasting, it's just like everything else. In Matthew 19, Jesus has this beautiful conversation with his disciples and a group of parents. You know, in Scripture, I was trying to figure out some ways that Jesus could give examples of busy lives and if Jesus was ever too busy for anybody, and I just couldn't find it anywhere in Scripture of Jesus just saying, I'm too busy for this. I'm trying to heal this guy. What do you need? You know, or stuff like that. But Jesus, one of these beautiful stories in Matthew 19, verse 13, it says, one day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could lay his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. What are you doing, parents? I mean, come on. You know Jesus, like, because prior to Matthew 19 and in the chapters before in Matthew, it talks about Jesus is healing all these people. He fed over 4,000 people. You know, he's casting out demons. He's probably just building relationships with who knows who, you know? I mean, Jesus, needless to say, has been pretty busy. And so the disciples, his boys, his crew, his entourage, his brothers, are telling these parents, yo, this is just, you're bothering them. Don't bother him with these children. Because at this time, too, it's important to know that the children in this time of age, they just weren't really valued. Because they didn't have nothing to offer. They couldn't help out in the, you know, the fields. They couldn't help out building nothing. I mean, the kids just didn't really have a lot of attention drawn to them. But Jesus' response, so beautiful. It says in verse 14, but Jesus said, let the children come to me. Do not stop them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children. And he placed his hands on their heads and he blessed them before he left, before he went on his way. Who knows how much time Jesus spent with these kids? Probably a lot, you know. Just from reading scriptures and the relationships that Jesus built with tax collectors and all kinds of random people that the people were just like, why are you spending time with them? Jesus spent a lot of time with people, and he spent a lot of time with these children to where even his disciples thought, you're bothering him with this stuff. You're bothering them. With all the things that were in front of Jesus, the only thing he saw in that moment, friends, was need. With all the things that he had been doing in his life, all the things that were going on with him and through his disciples' responses, the only thing Jesus saw in front of him was not a bunch of kids that are going to waste my time. He saw need in front of him. I have to freely admit to you, friends, that I've been on a journey to have to remind myself to set my eyes on Jesus, because when I set my eyes on Jesus, I begin to notice the things that I feel like would just be a waste of my time because I'm too busy are actually need in front of me. How many times have we missed the need in our lives because we didn't feel like we can make a difference? For those of us here this morning, we feel overwhelmed. Some of us may feel overwhelmed with our schedules. I know I do occasionally, and I'm not even married or have kids. And I'm like, man, I am just way overwhelmed in life. This is insane. I've just got too much stuff on my plate. And I just truly believe that the overwhelming could be weight on our lives to begin to drag us down and we lose sight of the important things in front of us, you know? And Jesus, again, comes to his friends who feel overwhelmed, and he says he's inviting not just them, but he's inviting us at Life Point Church and in this theater right now. In Matthew 11, verse 28, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and I will give you rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden I give you is light. Can we find rest in him this morning? Can we accept the love from Jesus this morning? Can we set our eyes on Jesus this morning? If we continue to set our eyes on the things other than Jesus, we start making these things called gods in our lives. These things will only give temporary satisfaction, obviously. I believe we can all testify to that. They may give an instant satisfaction, but it's only temporary. These gods that we create in our lives, it's just like the gods that Moses' brother Aaron, who co-led with Moses. The Israelites were, man, they were taking some time, y'all. Taking some time to get to the promised land. And Moses was spending an intimate time with the all-powerful God on top of this mountain. Well, while he was doing that, the people began to bicker and groan and stuff like that that Moses was leading. They've seen all these miraculous things that God had done for them, but they wanted instant satisfaction. They didn't want to be patient. They didn't want to wait. They didn't want to trust in the Lord. And so they began creating a God. And creating something that they thought could give them instant satisfaction. Friends, this morning, I want to freely admit to you, as a pastor, as a friend, I create gods in my life every day because I'm tired of waiting on the Lord when he's calling me to do something. I want something that gives me instant satisfaction. But through that instant satisfaction, I believe that it's only temporary and not the everlasting satisfaction that the Lord can only provide in my life. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, it says this about the world that gives us this instant but yet temporary satisfaction. 17, it says, "And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave, but anyone who does what pleases God will live forever." That's difficult for me to admit. To set my eyes on Jesus, to set my eyes on the Lord, to go, to use my talents that he's given me, to go out and love others. That's hard to set my eyes on. When I'm wanting something that gives me instant. Something instant. So friends, let's ask a question together. What is it in our lives that is pleasing to God? Are we living out the words of Jesus this morning to stop using the excuses of being just too busy? Are we wrapping our hearts around the words of Paul to offer our bodies as a holy sacrifice to him? What ways are we using our spiritual gifts to meet the needs in front of us? You know, David, who wrote these beautiful psalms to the Lord, who wrote a majority of the psalms in the book of Psalms, there's 150 of them. And I guarantee in all 150 of them, it starts out with the majority of crying out to the God in a sense of need. But it always wraps up that God is the instant satisfaction, and he is the one that gives the love that feeds my soul, and that is what's everlasting. So friends, I just want us this morning, as we wrap up and we go before the Lord, Psalms 25 verse 1, the scripture that Beth wrote, that read, says, "Oh Lord, I give my life to you." Can we, friends, this morning embrace this time of reflection of who is God to me? Who is God to you? Who is God to you? Who is Jesus to you? Who is he laying on your hearts this morning to serve and to love? What is he calling us to as a church? What is he calling you individually to lead others to his love? Because he's calling us to do that. He's calling all of us to do that. But what's beautiful about that is that it looks random and different for all of us, because that's the kind of God we serve. If we all did the same thing, I don't know how much of an impact that could be. But the fact that he's created in us to do a variety of things, there's something beautiful about that. And I want myself to be a part of that journey with you. I want to know how I can serve alongside you in your creativeness and what God's gifted you at. And so I'm inviting you to allow me to be a part of that journey, to where you can email me. On your connection guides, there's an email with my email address. Email me. Let me be a part of that journey with you and pray with you and walk that journey with you. You could call me. I'll give you my cell phone number after this service so we can be a part of those beautiful conversations together. Friends, just take a few moments. Would you just be in attitude of prayer right now? Just bow your head, close your eyes. And I want you to reflect on who is God to you, who is Jesus to you, and who is he laying on your hearts this morning. Psalm 25 verse 1, it says, "Oh Lord, I give my life to you." Let us trust in the Lord and invite him to not just have our lives, but our hearts this morning. Because friends, when we give up control to Jesus and we allow him to lead us, beautiful things begin to happen And not only beautiful things begin to happen, but everything begins to change. So Lord, hear us this morning as we cry out to you with our hearts. Hear us this morning, oh God, as we cry out to you. Friends, just be in this moment right now and allow the Lord to speak to you.